Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune, joins me. Jay, the Padres have won three in a row. They played two lousy teams. They're still in the process of playing one of those in this run of not very good teams. But hey, they look a little bit like the offensively, and then, you know, I guess pitching wise better, but they look a little bit like the 2020 Padres, this offense. And they're not facing great pitching, but it's something that we needed to see, and it's what we're seeing.
No, you're right. And it seemed like the world was ending on Friday night, which was a terrible performance. I mean, the five early runs was the offense that you're talking about. And then not just to blow the 5-0 lead, which with Weathers and Stammen did, but then not to score again was almost more surprising than the pitching failure. I mean, Arizona's bullpen, the worst in baseball, and the Padres 7 2/3 inning and couldn't score a single run against that. So at that point, obviously, that was it. The season was over. They're going to blow this chance against the good teams. And they haven't exactly blown away the last three nights, their opponents, although last night was they were comfortably in front, except for one moment late in the game, but they quickly opened up again. But, you know, we talked before this stretch of games that they needed to go at least 9-4 to feel like it was a success, which would basically mean losing one game in each series would take care of that. And, you know, they lost one against Arizona. Now they've got their 1-0 against Miami so far. The offense certainly has perked up a little bit. You know, last night was more like what you would want to see. Struggled a little bit over the weekend, but, you know, got enough runs. And now tonight will be interesting because they'll be facing Braxton Garrett, who pitched the game, I believe, in Miami, where the Padres had won the first two in that series. And they lost that Saturday game, if I'm remembering correctly. And Garrett pitched and had the game of his young career so far. I mean, he went 7 innings. He struck out 10, gave up a couple runs. He's pitched, I think it's 6 games this year. No other game has he pitched more than 5 innings or struck out more than 6. So we'll see. I guess we'll find out tonight if the Padres learned anything from that game, or, you know, if he found the secret to, you know, to pitching against the Padres. And the Padres will be going with a bullpen game that I wanted to ask you about with Craig Stammen pitching tonight. I kind of expected Rhys Kinnear to get the start tonight. He had pitched well in a couple innings on Friday night. He's done this before. What enlighten me, enlighten us on the, on, I guess, why Stammen over Kinnear, and why Stammen, and now Stammen, Jay Stengler's talking like he might stretch him out a little bit here and maybe be a starter.
That's how this all started, really, was with that question. I thought the same thing you did, Rhys Kinnear. Rhys Kinnear would seemingly, obviously, be on his way out, if not tomorrow when Daniel Hudson is tomorrow. It's Tuesday as we record this. When Daniel Hudson is activated, then you would think he'd pitch today, and perfect time for Rhys Kinnear to go back to AAA. Certainly, when Chris Paddock comes back, he and Miguel Diaz will be gone. Is what you know. All things being equal as they are now. So why Craig Stammen? I mean, Craig Stammen's opened before, famously, you know, last year in the playoffs, once this year. He's pitched well, all right. Oh, it's because, you know, Craig is going to now go maybe 2-3 tonight, or, you know, and then, oh, maybe 3-4-5 the next night. Whoa. Hey, whoa. Jay, stop the presses.
Right.
Craig Stammen, who was a starter in 2009 and 2010,
correct.
Is now supposedly going to get to start and go as long as he can for a time. And if you think about it, Jay, and I don't know if you have, but you know, he's the one who's going to be around, not Rhys Kinnear. There simply is not room for all these people that they have on the IL that are coming back. And it's not like just some guys are coming back. There's some pretty important guys coming back. Mm-hmm. And so, all right, Craig Stammen is going to be around. Matt Strom just coming off the injured list. He, who has been a good starter, he's been a bad starter too, but he's been a very good starter for times. And so, why not him? Well, because he's just come off the IL. You know what? Let's see what we can get out of Craig Stammen. One thing you know is he's going to come in, save for those ones where he called his pitch to He called his pitch to Peacock the other night the worst pitch of the season. Save for those times where Craig does give up a bomb or a double to a pitcher on a two-strike pitch. He's going to come in, throw strikes. He's battled this year. He's thrown more innings than any reliever. It makes sense. To Nelson Lamet, you are not going to do this. First off, he's not ready right now. I do think he will be an opener, all right? But Ryan Weathers could also be going down. There's just a lot in flux. But who's your steady guy? Craig Stammen is going to be there for you.
That was my next question was about what this sort of means for Ryan Weathers. The last two starts have not been good. And I don't know if they're seeing danger signs in that. And the idea that, we're into August now and it's getting late in the season and he's 21 years old and we don't know how much he's pitched in his career. All we have from last year is their word that he pitched all these innings at the alternate site. But let's face it, those were not the same as pitching, innings and games. Maybe there's a little bit of concern there. And so if you're going to need that fifth starter at times over the next, 7 weeks or so left in, 7+ weeks left in the season, that, I guess you are going to need someone else to sort of step up and at least be able to pitch 4 innings, 5 innings to get into that deep bullpen. That's really, we talked about this before, that's really all they need from that spot. I mean, they can't have Darvish and Snell and Musgrove consistently going 4 and 5 innings. They need them to go 6 and 7, which they have been doing of late. But they're going to need somebody to come out and open a game and go more, what you would hope, like I said, 4 innings maybe. And yeah, I guess, at this point, Stammen is certainly more reliable than Matt Strom, just from the health standpoint. I mean, Strom makes more sense if all things were equal to be that guy. You pointed out in your newsletter today, I think it was, about Strom's history as a starter. And I love Strom's quote where he's like, there's going to be a time where Matt Strom starts, 28 or 30 games in a season in the big leagues. And I love the confidence that he has in himself. But for now, you're right. I guess Stammen, when you think about it, which you have done more of than I have, he does make sense here.
Yeah, it does. And look, you have off days in September. You have two extra spots, which I would imagine would go to pitchers. Right. If Ryan Weathers goes down, bring him back. If you feel like it's Reese Kinnear, you bring him back. So you have some cushion there. We've talked about this before. And, Ryan Weathers. Okay, he started to throw strikes, and it didn't matter last game. So, where it's always been command. It's like his command was pretty good last game. I didn't see it. Always going to tell you, I'm not a coach, a scout. There were Padres people who said the stuff wasn't as good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that a sign? I do think that Ryan Weathers' role is changing, and that could be to get a little rest and then maybe come back in September.
I was going to say, maybe it's just a sign that he needs a little break here. Yeah. And then you get him back. Because we did talk all year really about his innings, and at some point they might, either need to or decide to give him a break here.
And even though they think that is a certain level, 120, 130, maybe it's not, because in completely – first of all, every pitcher's different. And second, we're in unprecedented territory with what happened last year. So, it's an interesting time and it's an interesting development that, and I suppose it could also be in flux if Craig doesn't pitch well tonight. But he generally doesn't have a couple bad ones. That was definitely his worst of the season last time.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're very confident in Craig Stammen that he's going to give you what he can. Just like, I thought last night, man, Joe Musgrove, what Darvish did was a thing of beauty. What Snell did is what we expected, and it was real nice. It was a real, real nice game. What Joe Musgrove did is why, if I'm Jace Tingler, he's like my favorite pitcher, because I don't care if he has pneumonia. That guy's going to give you 5 innings, and he's going to give up 2 or 3 runs tops. And last night it was 6-1. And if that's your number 3 starter, I think Joe Musgrove's the guy you can say you've gotten what you bargained for when you committed $4 million and Joey Lucchese and a couple other prospects.
Well, I mean,
that's what I think.
Right. You can look at the, if you're watching this, the, as opposed to listening to it, his numbers are on the screen right now. And you look at that, you know, 128 and a third, only 33 walks, 147 strikeouts, and a whip under one, and an ERA under three. So he's been, you're right, he's been very good. I mean, we should note, the Padres are, as we've said, the Padres are facing bad teams right now, so you can't read everything into what Darvish and Snell and Musgrove have done. But Musgrove particularly has probably been the most consistent guy. He had one stretch where he wasn't very good, but the most consistent guy throughout. Blake Snell the other day, I mean, yeah, he was facing a crummy team, but he was throwing strikes. And, you know, there were three walks. One of them probably shouldn't have been a walk. But still, even if he won, I know he was upset walking the three guys. But even
one of the strikeouts shouldn't have been a strikeout either. So anyway,
right? So you know, I mean, that, look, that's going to happen. And with someone like Snell, it was more the way he was throwing the ball, and and for the most part, he was throwing strikes, a batter here, a batter there. He wasn't, but way more command than he's shown almost all season. Although he has pitched pretty well at home this year, but he was outstanding, you know. And now we'll see, he'll face that same team again this weekend in Arizona. I haven't looked at the rotation, but obviously him and Darvish would be in line to to pitch on, I guess, Thursday and Friday in Arizona, and then Musgrove on Saturday, and I guess, who knows, back to Stammen again maybe Sunday. But we'll see how Snell does against Arizona when they see him again, It's 5 days later. But that was encouraging for the Padres. And the rotation has been encouraging, in these, like you said, in these past few days. And we'll see how it carries forward now. They've got to face, as I said, Arizona this weekend, and then the three games at Coors. And then you have the Phillies and the Dodgers coming up. So it's going to get more difficult here coming up, and we'll see how they respond.
Yeah, it gets real starting on the 20th, is provided the Phillies are what they seem to be lately.
I'm sorry, you can say it gets real starting next week when you go to Coors. I mean, the Rockies are pretty good team at home and have played the Padres tough, and look, they're not a great team, but at Coors, they're pretty tough. And just pitching at Coors can be difficult. So it's going to get more difficult than another this week against the Marlins in Arizona.
So the thing that when I said that the Padres have looked like the 2020 Padres offensively, you're finally seeing three, four, five guys a night getting two hits. One guy getting three timely hits. They've stayed, they're all season. They have stayed in the zone, and they always say, "Hey, if we do this, it'll pay off." And these last three games are the types of games. And quite honestly, the game where they beat, the Rockies 8-1. And then they beat they scored eight against the A's. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Like it started to pay off more lately. The Padres being who they are, and I don't know what that is. Obviously, a little bit of it is the teams they faced, but they also beat Sean Manaea, who had, shoved it up their backside the time before. I honestly believe that some of these pitching performances and a lot of this offense plays against good teams as well. I think that we all are in for a shock if this team gets into a playoff series. The difference in playoff baseball, like we focus on a lot of things that are going to be different in the playoffs. I think this team sets up well for the playoffs. I do, with its bullpen, with its approach at the plate. But anyway, that's down the road. I really have, if you're a Padres fan, you're excited about what you're seeing out of the offense now, night after night for a week, really. I really, this started last week, Sunday, the last home game of the it's weird. Feels like one long homestand because it was interrupted just by those Oakland A's games. But starting then, for the most part, I felt like the offense has looked just about what you would expect it to based on what we saw last year and early this year.
Right. And you have, you mentioned guys being in the zone. Obviously the Crone zone is one of the zones that they're in, and Cronenworth's been continued to be good. Machado's been incredible over the past couple of months, I guess. I don't remember the date exactly, but okay, and I think he has the highest offensive WAR in the league, I think, during that time. And Hosmer, since June 29th, has an OPS, I think, over 950. The guy everybody loves to hate has continued to come up with big hits, you know, pretty much night after night. Trent Grisham appears to be out of the funk that he was in. He's left Tommy Pham somehow picked up on that funk, and Will Myers has not been great recently. But that brings us to the outfielder who could replace.
How did we one make those, it 16 minutes?
One of those peoples, and that would be Fernando Tatis Jr., who I should grab this here for people who are watching, who is kind of a freak in his athleticism and everything else. He goes out to the outfield and you know, makes catches like that Casey Alfred caught for the Union Tribune today. But anyway, you have watched Tatis in the outfield. You know, I think it's a little much, you know, to expect him to go out there and, you know, be a Gold Glove caliber fielder the way that Wayne Kirby was talking about yesterday without ever having done it before. But I certainly wouldn't expect him to embarrass himself. But it does look like, I mean, I guess the biggest point is it does look like this is happening, doesn't it?
Unless there is some sort of bizarre, which I can't even imagine what it is, and no one has told me what it could be, setback, or like they're like, oh, this guy's just not getting it. You know, one of the most instinctual players that we've seen around here just right. Suddenly is like, oh, I don't understand what you're talking about. It appears that Fernando Tatis Jr. is an outfielder now, and at least for this season, and certainly this was something that long term was possibly going to happen anyway. So, wow, here we are. He looks absolutely phenomenal. The one thing, I referred to it in the story today, it's a progression when you're learning the outfield. So they take him over to right field to work on those corners, you know, where it kind of juts in and stuff. That's the only time he looked less than like he was born playing outfield.
Right.
And of course he's going to. I mean, that's one of the harder parts of playing the outfield. In some ways, center field is the easiest position. You know what you're supposed to do, what you're going to do. This picture on the screen right now where he's up catching a ball right at the top of the railing was the last ball that Wayne Kirby hit to Fernando Tatis Jr. in right field. And it was amazing. And there are some Padres front office people in the dugout. And they're just laughing and shaking their head like, you know, you tell him just to go out and work on some stuff. He's just, you know, maybe that catch made them move him back to shortstop because they're like, it doesn't matter where we put him. This guy's going to just do incredible things. And so, you know, he could get hurt anyway. Yes, he could. Here's the thing people need to understand about the move to outfield. Yes, if you dive in the outfield, if you run into the wall in the outfield, it could be even more severe than diving at shortstop and that shoulder popping out. In the outfield, you have more time to understand what you're going to do. It's not a 114 mile an hour grounder or line drive at you that you have 0.2 seconds to decide. It's the outfield. Now, look, he's new out there. He is Fernando Tatis Jr. The last time he got hurt, he was doing something that was a little too aggressive. You could argue that every time he's gotten hurt, he's doing something a little too aggressive. This is not foolproof, but this is sound. And it's sound because of what you said, Jay. He's not going to make a fool out of himself. He is good enough to do this.
And he's made aggressive plays and not gotten hurt as well, yes, we should say. Yes. I mean, it's not like he just decided he's going to make one aggressive play and, oh, no, he hurt himself. I mean, he has put that shoulder through a lot.
Yes.
And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not even going to play one here. But I would think that it's going to be a freak thing. Something is going to happen, and he could get hurt. Some guy tweeted at me last night. You know, wherever he gets hurt, or you know, wherever he plays, he could get hurt, or he gets hurt, it's going to play somewhere. Whatever it was, I can't remember. But it was like, yeah, he could get hurt.
He
might not get hurt.
It was Stephen Wright. Everywhere I go, there I am.
It was along those lines.
I get his point. You know, I get his point. Yes.
But I do too. But the thing is, if he's going to play, then and they've decided that it's okay for him to play, then yes, there is a chance he's going to get hurt. He gets hurt in the outfield. We all can't say, oh, they should have left him at shortstop, because he can get hurt anywhere. He can get hurt hitting. We saw him get hurt running the bases. So the one
it's like with the coronavirus, right? Like you're supposed to like limit the amount of exposure to the virus.
Right.
Outfield has less exposure. He's not going to get as many balls.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Now, the one thing I just thought of while we were talking about this is if he comes back this weekend, let's say sometime this weekend, it's interesting that the two ballparks they're playing in, you talked about the crazy walls and all that stuff. Going, you know, the National League West is not an easy park to play the outfield in, but he's going to Arizona, which is a big outfield, and he's going to Colorado, which is a bigger outfield. And then he's also got games coming up in a trip to San Francisco. I think just one or two trips to San Francisco. Two trips to San Francisco, where, again, the outfield's not quite as big as it's been in the past, but it's still pretty big. Especially, so there's a lot of, and it's got that, you know, the weird wall in right field and everything. So, look, I've said this many times. I'll watch Fernando Tatis Jr. do anything. It's fascinating to see him do anything. So if he's going to try something new, great. Let's see what he does. I mean, there's no reason to expect that from what we've seen of this guy for the last 3 years, that anything he does, he's not going to succeed at.
Well, that's the thing. And look, I went from, oh, look, Fernando's out there taking grounders. Look, Craig Stammen and Mark Melancon take grounders at third and second, okay? Will Myers plays third, like, and, you know, he played there in the game, but kind of. So he takes grounders all over the infield. This happens. I'm like, last Friday, I'm like, oh, look, Fernando's out in center. Huh, that's different than last time. He's tracking balls. He looks like he's done it like all of his life right now. And Wayne Kirby's talking to him. You start to ask, kind of embarrassed, like, hey, what's going on out there? This is real. Oh, my gosh, this is real. And I'm still thinking, this is a goof. This is lame. It is. The more you think about it, the more it makes sense for everything that you've said, Jay, a few of the things I've said. It makes sense. You know, they have the ability to do it, and he has the ability to do it. He has the ability to play this. Look, let's say he makes a bad read. I think he's got the speed to overcome it sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be perfect out there, and he may end up costing him a game out there. I mean, who knows? I'm interested to see it, and you mentioned that they have the ability to do it, and that's another part of this, is that they have, you know, by acquiring Adam Frazier, it gave them one infielder too many. Let's face it. And so unless you wanted to put Frazier in left field, and I mean, look, Adam Frazier didn't look so good in left field that one game where he didn't make a catch out there. So it's not like Tatis is doing something, you know, is going to be alone if he doesn't make a catch or a tough play. But now they have Frazier to play second. They have Cronenworth, who can play anywhere and made as great a play as you'll ever see on Sunday afternoon, and, you know, diving in the hole at shortstop. So, and you still have Ha-Seong Kim on the bench to fill in at any point for those guys and for Machado as well. And you can shift Cronenworth on the days when you don't play Hosmer. You can shift, either put Myers at first, or you can shift Cronenworth to first and play Kim. I mean, that's what we've talked about before with this thing. I mean, look at Chris Taylor of the Dodgers is a perfect example of a guy, and Chris Bryant has done this as well, who will play, you know, the infield, one infield position one day, one infield position the next, one outfield position the day after that. And the Padres now have guys that can do that. And that is another way of giving them the ability to try this with Tatis. It's a little unusual, let's say, to try this on August the 10th, when, you know, you're battling for the playoffs, but it's also a way to get another good player into the lineup. And if Myers or Pham, if they're not as good as Tatis or Frazier or Cronenworth or, you know, whoever it might be, why not do this? Why not try it?
Yeah, Will Myers said the hot hand is gonna play yesterday. And so people were asking me, do you think he was telling you the truth? I'm like, yes, but just in a really positive way. Because the cold hand will not play. That's what it is. I mean, why would Will Myers look at it any other way? Is the hot hand's going to play? I plan on being the hot hand, and you know that was left unsaid, that last part. But of course, hey, the alternative here is, and I'm not saying Fernando Tatis Jr. couldn't play shortstop, but The alternative here is the MVP frontrunner, as long as he gets back in the game pretty soon. Mm-hmm. The MVP frontrunner could sit, or he could play the outfield. So let's try this. I applaud the Padres for this, and I will still applaud them if he gets hurt. They need to really, and they say they're not gonna, but yes, they are. Tell him that wall hurts. Yesterday was the first day of, okay, work on the wall. Here's how you do your hand. Here's how many steps. Here's what you're looking for. There are a couple more days of that, right? And communication, that's going to be introduced today in terms of talking. You know, you're in center field, you're in charge, you're in right field, the center field's in charge. You know, they're going to get into that, but Fernando, calm down. Just like I need to tell some guys sometimes, light to steal, but you don't have to. You can bunt, but you don't have to. So that's what they need to do with him, and there's no doubt in my mind that they will.
Right, and there's also no doubt in my mind that he'll go into a wall at some point.
And that wherever he's playing, that section's going to sell out because he's going to be talking to fans. He's going to throw balls to fans. And there is going to be. And if you think there's not, then like you haven't been watching and you're not. And it's okay because this guy's special. You're not fully grasping how wonderful he is of a player. He's going to do. He might make two errors in a game and then also make a play that absolutely blows our mind and is seen 70 million times on social media. That's going to happen. So.
Yeah. And let's hope it happens soon. Let's hope it happens soon so that we can get back to watching him play.
I think that I got to check this out. But, I mean, he looked yesterday like a guy who can play. He's eligible to come off today. It won't be today by every indication. It's that he needs a little bit more work to, you know, be ready to be an outfielder. This is not the kind of injury that, two more days. If he's doing what he's doing now, that means he's good to go. It's not like, two more days, he'll be better. That's not this type of injury. He wouldn't be out there doing the things that he's doing, taking full swings, running, catching, throwing, all this stuff that he's doing. He's ready. I think that it's that they need to get him ready to be an outfielder, and especially, like you said, to play at Arizona and particularly at Coors Field. But again, his speed will take care of it. And you know what? I don't think you change things, but you do have a right fielder now in Trent Grisham, if Fernando's playing center, who is pretty fast himself and can do things. So I think you work these things out.
Right. And I wonder if because of the Arizona factor and going into a different ballpark, if he's activated, say, Thursday, or if they give him a day to practice before the game Thursday. And I mean, he could obviously practice before the game and still play. We'll see. It's all just speculation at this point. But it does appear that he's going to be playing the outfield when he comes back. And now the only question is when is he ready, and when do they feel comfortable putting him out there where he's not going to hurt? You know, it's one thing for him to not hurt himself. He also has to not hurt the team.
There are a lot of bad fielders out there with 1,000 OPS. I shouldn't say that. Teams would take a lot of bad fielders out there with 1,000 OPS. There aren't a lot of players with 1,000 OPS. but there's a lot of bad fielders out there who are good hitters. So let's just keep it in perspective here that Fernando Tatis Jr. is coming back on the field. That's the point.
Right. So, all right, well, we got two more days here, and then you're off to Phoenix and Denver, I believe, for the final time to both.
One more to Phoenix.
That's right.
Yeah.
Final time to Coors, though.
Plenty of heat to be able to bask in Arizona. so that'll be great. You know what they do in Arizona this time of year? And the players say it's just fine. They would prefer it. It's down to like 90, dry heat. They open the roof at some point in the game. In the press box, it's stifling. I'm dripping sweat. The air conditioning was on earlier. They don't be surprised if you're right. It's 98, but down on that field, it's like 90, and they actually prefer that to having the airplane hangar closed. So
yeah, I can see that. I mean, if you're starting the game at, I think most of them start at like 6:40, let's say Thursday and Friday, and so it's probably 95 to 98. I could see where on the field, if you open things up and it cools off, that It's not so bad. And I really hate that they're not thinking about you guys in the press box. But I mean, we're used to it, right?
Yeah, it's all right. Oh, they have a nice fan next to me. All right, we get to
okay.
Then, but I just thought about that. But anyway, you know how I am, Jay.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.